You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
This has become a theme for me at Christmas. It was for a few years, I just preached to you over and over and over at Christmas about the virgin birth. And this is, the virgin birth is actually a part of this. I think the reason that it got in me is that I began to not only understand, but value the incarnation. It is key to our salvation. In fact, we don't have any hope outside of the incarnation. That God became man, the virgin birth, that God is Jesus' father, and Mary is Jesus' mother, and he was born like no other, the God-man. Amen? And so these last few years, this theme, along with that, I think it sparks it, but I want us to focus on this again, and I can't get away from this thought, Christmas and miracles. Christmas and miracles. How many people in this room today, you say, Pastor, I need supernatural intervention in my life. I need a miracle in my life. See, that's Christmas. Christmas gives us hope for God to intervene because that is what God did. He intervened in man's life. And Christmas is a time of miracles. Now, I understand and know that, you know, the magic of Christmas and all of the peripheral things of Christmas and Santa Claus and all those things. And I don't fight Santa Claus. I kind of like Santa Claus. And some of you that, you know, it's like, well, our kids aren't going to believe in Santa Claus. That's fine. You do what you want, but I'm going to do what I want, and I'm right. Okay. Now, I enjoy that, the whole aspect with the little children. Guess what, man? I thought Santa Claus brought me a drum set, and it was really my sister that put it on the front porch. So, and I came through that growth, and I come to understand Jesus. Amen? So I'm not hung up here on something trying to get legalistic. What I want to tell you, though, is that Christmas is not about magic. It's about a miracle. Okay? Christmas is not about, but Christians and people in general don't just want to focus on the magic of Christmas. They want to focus on the magic of God all the time. And something that I've told you time and time again when we talk about faith is this, is that God's not into magic. You know, we want God to do what we want him to do when we want him to do it. Poof, God, do this, do this. I've heard my dad say 1,000 times, you know, God's not a slot machine that we put our 2 bits in, pull the lever, and out comes a miracle. And some people think that's how it works, and they run to God, and they try to have the formula, and boom, their miracle. They're really looking for magic, and God doesn't do magic. God does miracles. And miracles, you look at the miracles of Christ, almost all of them, he partnered with man. He asked the man with the lame hand, extend your hand. He extended it, and it was made well. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, and then they're made whole. There was a partnership. I see Christmas. We did Covenant Relationship last year, the Covenant series. Christmas is Covenant Relationship. God is Jesus' father, Mary's his mother. You talk about ultimate covenant partnership with mankind to provide salvation. And so Christmas is covenant, God doing his part. God always comes through on his part. Amen? Sure he does. He's faithful. Well, here's the thing. here's the theme, and we use these words, we talk about these words we have in Christmas past. We've talked and used this phrase in recent weeks, but I want us to focus in on it this morning, and it's this: nothing is impossible with God. Amen. That's what the angel told Mary. It's what we're talking about on this Christmas Sunday. Nothing is impossible with God. Think about this. The angel told Mary that she was going to have a baby without a man. It's impossible. He told her that her baby would be born of the Son of God, that he would be the Son of God, that God was going to come to earth as a human being, as a baby. It just sounds impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. Let's say that together. Nothing is impossible with God. I want us to get it in our psyche, get it in our mind. Those are the words that the angel Gabriel told Mary when announcing she's going to give birth to this long-awaited Messiah. It's the words that I believe God wants to speak to us at this Christmas season. Because most of us have an impossibility that we're facing. Several of you lifted your hand. Some of you didn't. And you know there's impossibilities that you face in your life. Here's the question: have you invited God into your impossibility? Because nothing is impossible with God. Let's walk through this. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We spend a lot of time in Luke at Christmas time. Luke chapter 1. Let's begin reading. And again, this Sunday, we're doing it the old-fashioned way. There's not going to be scriptures on the screen, but we're going to open up our smartphones and iPads and our Bibles, and we're going to read along. So if you've got your phone, your iPad, your Bible, follow along with me in reading. Luke chapter 1, let's begin with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he, being that angel, came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one." And I want you to remember that. O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. So she was obviously astute, spiritually in tune. She's trying to discern what's going on here. And the angel said to her, "Now do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Let me stop there. She found favor. So apparently, Mary was very righteous, upright. She was following the law. She was following the Lord the best that she understood to that point. And she found favor. Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. She found favor with God. And the angel said, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Wow. God will be the father of this baby. say, well, how's this going to happen? I mean, not through any sexual union. No, simply God's power. And a new life would be planted in Mary's womb, and this new life would be the Son of God. This virgin birth, this story that I just read, there's all kinds of skepticism. There's all kinds of even theological debate about the virgin birth, about the incarnation. A lot of people just find it unbelievable. And understandably so. Why? It's impossible for a virgin to be pregnant. We all know where babies come from, right? That's not the sermon, but I just want to make sure you understand where babies come from, right? You still with me? Amen? A virgin birth is not possible. It is impossible. If you find the virgin birth hard to believe, you're not alone. Mary found it hard to believe. She was skeptical at the beginning. How is this thing going to happen? And so the Lord tells her how the Holy Spirit will come upon her and how she will conceive, and that baby will be holy. And then he goes on to give her an example. Watch this. You still got your finger there in Luke chapter 1? Watch this. It says, and behold, verse number 36, and behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And so Mary knows that Elizabeth is older and beyond childbearing, and that Elizabeth, he says, Elizabeth's become pregnant. That was impossible. And then he comes back with this statement, Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. Circle that, write that on the sole of your shoe, get it in your heart, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to me. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So God says, Elizabeth's going to have, through this angel, God says, Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And then he makes this declaration, for with God all things are possible. You know, your Aunt Elizabeth, and you know she's too old, but I want you to believe this, she's pregnant. She's pregnant. And so what does Mary do? So Mary arose, she wanted to go see this. Now that's not a part of the message, but I want you to read that next paragraph sometime this week. She went to the hill country, to the house of Zechariah. She went to see Elizabeth, to see this miracle that had taken place. And isn't it interesting that the angel says, Elizabeth's going to have a baby, and then this, for nothing will be impossible with God. And all of a sudden, that satisfies Mary. And she said, okay, let it be according to your word. Let it be. You say, Pastor, do you believe in the virgin birth? I do. Why? Because with God, all things are possible. You say, Pastor, do you believe in the incarnation? That God became a man in Christ, in Jesus Christ? You know what the answer is? Yes. Yes. You know why? Because I believe with God, all things are possible. And I believe that the Christmas story is this. It's that with God, all things are possible. Amen. You know, there's this movement. Put Christ back in Christmas. I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's enough to say, put Christ in Christmas. I don't think it's enough that everybody says, Merry Christmas. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I think what we need is not just Christ in Christmas. We need the miracle Christ. We need the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle worker in Christmas. To see that this is not just some fairy tale, some magical story, but it is reality that changes our lives and that can change our circumstances. Amen? Sure. Let me remind you why Mary was so quick to accept this. Let me give you the backstory. What was happening in her mind as the angel was talking to her. The phrase, nothing is impossible with God, is a Hebrew saying that people of that day, the children of Israel, were very familiar with. It was kind of a phrase like this. My dad can do anything. My dad can do anything. At this stage of life, grandpa can do anything. Well, that's what this was like to the children of Israel. Just like we tell our kids, your daddy can do anything. Freddie thinks his daddy can do anything. And I don't tell him any different. I think every little boy ought to think that their daddy can do anything. And they have that. My dad can. My grandpa can. Listen, that is the backstory. Because that phrase, that with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Because every Israelite knew the story of Abraham and Sarah. Everyone. They understood that Abraham was the father of their faith. Now listen to me. These are things we talked about. We talked about this last Christmas. We talked about it before. I could not get away from it. I was compelled this morning to come back to this story to remind us. And I begin to think, well, God, why do you keep bringing me back to this? And I'm going to tell you why. Because we have so many people in this church that need a miracle. And I wanted to relate it to this miracle Christmas because this will help spark our faith to believe God for the miracles that we're going to receive this morning at this altar. Amen? So listen close. Here it is. The backstory, with God, all things are possible. Everyone knew that Abraham and Sarah would have a baby. They also understood that Sarah was 89 years old and Abe was 99. When the angel appeared and told them, Sarah literally laughed. And in Genesis 18:14, it says this, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'm going to return at the appointed time next year. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Septuagint, which is the ancient Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, it's almost the exact same words. Nothing is impossible with God. When the angel said to Mary, for nothing will be impossible with God, verse 37, Mary's mind would have immediately, she knew the words that the angel spoke to Abraham and Sarah, that nothing is impossible with God. She would have connected the stories. She knew the miracle of her faith. And so what God did was he encouraged her. Listen, this is your promise. This is your miracle today. And he encouraged her to believe that it would be so by telling her, look at that miracle. I've done it before. I can do it again. And he was encouraging her that God fulfills his word. It shows up again in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the Lord had told him that they were going to go into captivity and that Babylon would rule over them. So God told Jeremiah, go by your uncle's field, have the deed transferred before witnesses. It was a whole act of faith, but it was saying God is going to bring us back to this land. And you find this in Jeremiah 32:17. It says, "Oh, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by thy great power or by your outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for you." You see, she knew the story of her people. She knew the story of bondage and freedom and bondage and freedom and bondage and freedom. Jeremiah 32 and verse 27, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" And so God affirmed what Jeremiah said. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing is impossible. Mary would have known that story. And so God knew that in Mary's mind, she understood this phrase that nothing is impossible with God. He used a familiar phrase to encourage Mary's faith and remind her. That's all this message is today. I think most people in this room have read this and would say amen to it, that with God all things are possible. But in the midst of this moment, you may feel overwhelmed because of your marriage, because of your finance, because of your health, because of your children. And you need this Christmas message, this Christmas word. And it's this: with God, all things are possible. Your situation, whatever you are facing, with God, it's not hopeless. Hello? It's not hopeless. With God, all things are possible. Jesus used this word with his disciples. They would have understood. I never saw this before until last night. The fact that Jesus used this with his disciples, and they would have understood it, and they were able to grab a hold of it. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "With man this is impossible, but not with God." All things are possible with God. Jesus was talking to them about how difficult it was for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And that blew the disciples' minds. I mean, they're struggling with that whole thought because they believed wealth was a sign of God's favor. And the Lord just says, listen, it's hard for someone of affluence to enter into the kingdom of God. And he goes on to say, it's easier for a camel to crawl through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that whole idea of eye of a needle, when I was a kid in church and my dad would say that, you know, my literal mind would go, okay, my mom has a needle and she calls that an eye and a camel through. This makes no sense whatsoever. Until my dad went to Israel when I was in elementary school, and he came back and he would show his slides. He had a slideshow. And I mean, he showed it in the schools and people in churches all over, because back then it was kind of unique that someone from a small community like ours would travel internationally. And so they would have him come and tell about his trip to Israel. And he had it outlined in the life of Jesus. But he would show a picture of that wall and around Jerusalem. And there is a circular hole periodically. It's called the eye of a needle. And when the gates would shut to the city, that's how people could enter or exit. And a camel could get through it, but it was hard. We had that camel here last week. Anybody ride the camel? Wasn't that fun? I said, "Humphrey." And the owner said, "Nope, his name's Charlie. Charlie the camel." And you see that, how that big old camel, they just lumber along and carry on. But what they would do is they could make that camel get down on its knees. When Luke and I was in Nepal, we stopped in Qatar on the way home, and we took a desert safari up to Saudi Arabia, to the Saudi Arabia line, and we ran and jumped off these sand dunes into Saudi Arabia. And we came back down. They had all kinds of tourist things up there, but falcons you could hold, and they had camels. And the camels there, they would make those camels get down on their knees. And I'm like, I don't need to ride a camel. I ride a camel at church, you know. I don't have to go to Saudi Arabia to ride a camel. But they get it down on its knees, and it just bellers and carries on. Well, they'd get them down on their knees, and they'd make them, and they would have to just squirm and do whatever to get through that eye of the needle. It was possible, but it was a hard thing to do, practically impossible. And so Jesus is saying it's easier for a camel to try to squeeze through that little hole to get inside the city gates than it is for someone of affluence, someone wealthy, to come to know Christ. And the disciples, you know, he was trying to teach them it's not all about what you have. It's not money that gets you to heaven. So they say to him, well, then who is going to be able to go? Who can be saved? And he responds by saying this: all things are possible with God. Aren't you thankful? Because in the scope of the world, we are all wealthy in this room who live in the United States of America. Aren't you thankful that the gospel got a hold of our lives? Amen. We struggle. We struggle with letting him be Lord because we want to be Lord and we want to trust on what we have. But he said, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. At this Christmas season, a virgin had a baby. And that baby's name is called Jesus. And that miracle baby Jesus, born under the umbrella of with God, all things are possible. That even folks who live in America, even folks who have wealth, who we can seem to buy whatever we want whenever we need it. But there's one thing we can't buy, and that's our salvation. And he provided so that even us, who would be self-reliant, self-sufficient, could break through some of our old crusty hearts. With God, all things are possible. Here's what I want you to see this morning. Is that God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to bring you back to himself. It is impossible for you to reach God on your own. So God came to you and made the impossible possible. I love that. Oh, come on. Amen. I couldn't get to him. I couldn't get to him. He had to come to me. I couldn't get to the perfect. The perfect had to come to me. Amen. That's Christmas. That's the miracle. With God, all things are possible. God made a relationship with him possible. That's why Jesus came, so that you could have a relationship with him, and he wants you to trust him. Trust him. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. So, I'm going to close with this. Now, it's a long closing, but I'm going to close with this. Here's the question. Have you received Christ? The miracle of Christmas is salvation. With God, all things are possible. He came. The perfect came. He who knew no sin came. and took on my sin. He didn't sin. He never sinned. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. But he took sin on the cross. He took my sin and he took your sin. Because a man couldn't do it, it wouldn't change us. An angel couldn't do it. It had to be the God-man. There's only one that could redeem us, and it is Jesus. And so, have you received this incredible gift, this miracle of Christmas, Christmas, of Jesus? So that's one question. The second question I would ask today is this. Has God promised you something? Are you standing on God's word? Are you praying about something and you are waiting on God to fulfill it? It's not happened yet. What promise are you waiting on God to perform? Gabriel's words to Mary was, nothing is impossible with God. Those words, nothing is impossible with God. Now listen, listen. I preached a lot of this message in previous Christmases and in forums up to this point, but not this part in its entirety. You better listen. This will set you free. Are you ready? Are you glad you came? I'm glad you came. Amen. Listen, here it is, right here. The words, with God all things are possible, were designed to encourage her to trust God to do what he said he would do. The word of God is given to us to trust God to do what he said he would do. Amen? Yeah. So God had spoken, and God is always faithful to do what he says. Even if it looks impossible, God keeps his words. Now let me clarify this. When the Bible says that nothing is impossible with God, it's not a promise that God will do everything we want. It's a reminder that God does what he promises, and that God can do anything, and that he does what he wants, not necessarily what I want. You see, some people struggle with that and they say, well, then that undermines faith. No, it doesn't. Everything leads me to trust God. It leads me to trust God to believe that he's in charge and that no matter what the outcome ends up being, I can trust him and that somehow he works these things together, not because of what I want, but for his glory. See, some of the things that I want, when I don't get them, I get disappointed. I question God. I feel like God let me down. But hang with it. Stay with the word. Stay with the promises of God. I'm going to show you this morning that God may say no, but it ends up being even a greater turn of events than what we would have imagined. See, so many of us get disappointed for the moment, but God is into big picture. Are you still with me here? Stay with me. Let me just walk you through a couple thoughts on this. Faith is a response to God. It's believing what God says. It's not just believing whatever you want. How many times have I told you, you need to read the part of the Bible you don't have underlined? It's believing what God says. Gabriel's words, nothing is impossible with God. Again, reminder, God does what he says. That phrase, nothing is impossible with God, can also be translated this way. For no word from God will ever fail. Or how about this? The word of God will never fail. See, God will do what he says, no matter how impossible it seems. So do you have a promise from God? Not your promise. You know, I did a lot of soul searching in working through this. because there's some things that didn't happen in my life. And I had to go back and I talked with God specifically out loud about this. God, I felt like this was supposed to happen and it didn't happen. And I got the answers. It was, I felt like this ought to happen. And sometimes we want what we want so bad that we superimpose it on God to the point that we are not open to say, God, whatever it is, I'm trusting you. I believe you. You say, Pastor, that is a cop-out on healing. No, it's not. No, it's not. I think it takes greater faith to trust God and say, God, you be in charge, than for me just to have my way. Stay with me. Everybody still here? Amen? See, what promise are you waiting on God to fulfill? That God, you know God has promised you. Not what you've conjured up. I'm going to be a multimillionaire. I'm going to be a multimillionaire. Think and grow rich. Think and grow rich. Think and grow rich. I'm going to be a multimillionaire. Ferrari, 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 Ferrari. Think and grow rich. Well, I'm going to dunk a basketball. I'm going to dunk a basketball. Not going to happen. So what has God promised you? Are you still with me? Are you hanging on to it? Are you hanging on to it? Keep believing. It may seem dark. See, what I'm saying is, don't give up. Is it your husband's salvation? Is it your son, your daughter's salvation? Is it your grandkids' salvation? Is it the provision? Is it the healing? What is it that God has promised you that you know that promise wasn't just general in the Bible promise, but it was rhema word that God brought alive in you? Keep believing, because nothing is impossible with God. Are you hanging on to it? And let me just say this, in the darkest hour when it seems hopeless. Now here's the second thing I would ask you. Have you invited God? It's not what has God promised that you've not yet received. But here's the second thing. Have you invited God into your impossible situation? You say, Pastor, you have no idea. You have no idea what goes on inside of my heart and mind. You have no idea the dark places that I go. You have no idea how complicated our marriage, how complicated our family. You just have no idea how big a hole I'm in. Well, here's my question. Have you invited God into your impossibility? Have you said, help? Hello? I need you, God. This isn't what God's promised you, and you've not yet got it, and you're hanging on, and you're continuing to persevere in faith. This is the situation. Whether you created it, whether the devil created it, whether it's just because it's a part of a broken world and life, have you invited God to help you? See, He's the master at untangling webs. Have you invited Him into your life and your situations? Listen to this. It's cliche. You've heard it before, but listen to this. When we work, we work. When we pray, God prays, or God works. Amen? When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. So invite God into your impossibility. The question is always this, and I always respond and use this. Well, what if He doesn't? Well, what if He does? That's what I always say. What if He does, right? I mean, give God the opportunity to give you strength to navigate the impossibility. You won't know. Man, people put it on Facebook. People will talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. And they want to tell everyone, everybody, they're whoa. But listen, you don't know what God's going to do till you ask Him. I don't do much counseling. I'll do a little crisis counseling, people in crisis situation, crisis hospital things. But if you're looking to see a counselor, extended counseling, you know, more than one time, you got the wrong guy. I'm not qualified to do it. We have qualified people that do it. But I'm amazed at how many people just want to talk about things, but they never really invite God. And I thought, you know what? If I was a counselor, here's what I would do. I would say, hey, it's great to have you. I'm so glad you're here. Why don't we do this? We're going to meet for 1 hour. Why don't you spend the first 45 minutes in the sanctuary at the altar and pray, and then we'll talk the last 15. I know that's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but what would happen if we would really seek God? Seek His face. And yeah, we need counsel. I get it. But all that we would ask God, because we don't know what God might do until we ask. And our God happens to be the God that does exceeding abundant above all. He does the impossible. What about this? Mark 14 and verse 36. I never, ever saw this in this light until this week. Mark 14 and verse 36. Abba, Father, this is Jesus. He said, everything or all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. I just never put the connection together. Jesus is in the garden. It's where He prays as though great drops of blood, sweats as though great drops of blood in His prayer. And He says, everything's possible for you. Abba, Father, Daddy, God, You are my Father. Tight relationship. Everything is possible. Take this cup from me. He knew that all things were possible with God, right? And He said, let's do this another way. God, you can figure out another way to save these people. Then He came back with this statement of faith, yet not what I will. In other words, not what I want, but what You will. What You want. Everything is possible for You, Father. Take this cup. Jesus knew nothing was impossible with God. That His Father could save Him from the cross and save the world another way. But listen, God didn't save Him. Jesus suffered. And He died. But then, He raised Him from the dead. Now watch this. See, nothing is impossible with God. What is the greater miracle? To save Jesus from dying or to raise Him from the dead? Hello? Come on, someone. Do you get it? See, God had a different plan. Jesus understood with God all things possible. Save me. What was He saying? Not save me from this pain of the cross. He knew that would hurt. His physical body probably crawled on Him. He knew sin. He did not know sin, and He knew sin was going to be put on Him. He knew that He was going to die a sinner's death. And God, if there's any other way, not Your will, but My will. God says, no, I'm not going to do it. So he suffered and died. But then God did a greater miracle and raised him from the dead. And because of the greater miracle, you and I are free today. Amen. You see, Jesus invited God into his impossibility and trusted God to do the work. And God did a greater work than Jesus even